Okay, I don't know how you feel about that piece of music there, but the first time I heard it, I nearly cried. I'm choked now because it's inspirational. It lets us see what the church should be, what the church can be. 65 UK churches took part in that. And I know a bit about it because one of them was my daughter's church in Aberdeen. And they were churches who not only wanted to sing a blessing, they wanted to be a blessing. They were churches who were dealing with getting hot meals to people who were isolated or vulnerable, and food parcels and a whole host of other things. They were being a blessing, and they wanted to come together and sing that song to inspire churches all around the nation, really, to try and be a blessing to their communities and to pray blessing over our country. Louise said that this is from Scripture, and it is from Numbers. I'm just going to read the short passage from Numbers where that blessing comes from. And this is Numbers chapter 6, from verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." What's remarkable about this passage is this is God telling Moses the words of the blessing that the priests are to use. So this isn't just any old scripture where one of the prophets says something or Moses says something. This is God saying to Moses, that first verse 22, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you're to bless the Israelites.'" And then he gives them the words. So these are words that God's asking his priests to use to bless the Israelites. So it's a priestly blessing. But those of you who remember sermons a few weeks ago, and I know most people don't, but if you remember a sermon from a few weeks ago, we were looking in 1 Peter, where Peter is telling the Christians, the followers in his day, that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And that message is for us. We're Christians. We're followers of Jesus. And Peter was saying to the followers then, we don't need intermediaries anymore. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we do not need intermediaries. We can talk to God. We can relate to God without an intermediary. We are priests. We're a royal priesthood. And so that means that this blessing, we can bless anyone that we choose to bless with it. And the churches who put that song together in the UK, they wanted us to bless our communities. They wanted churches up and down the country to bless their communities. And I just want to look at what that blessing actually says in a bit more detail. It's in five parts, really. The first bit is, "The Lord bless you and keep you." And that's about being kept safe. I mean, you could add the word safe to the end, couldn't you? The Lord bless you and keep you safe. And what they're looking at there is asking for God to protect. And the Israelites in the desert would have had a totally different lifestyle to what we're looking at today. But that doesn't matter because people today will still have things in their lives. You will have things in your lives that you want God to protect. We want God to protect those that we love or our jobs or whatever it is. And that first part of the blessing is the Lord bless you and keep you safe. It's asking God for protection. The Lord make his face shine upon you. That's lovely, isn't it? We're asking that God would be pleased with whoever we're trying to bless. That they would bask in his presence. That lovely image of his face shining upon them. So what we're asking for people there is that God would be pleased with them. He would smile upon them. And be gracious to you. We're asking God that he would show compassion, grace, and mercy on whoever we're trying to bless. We all mess up. You mess up. I mess up. Everybody will mess up. And when we mess up, we want God's forgiveness. We want God's mercy and God's grace. And that's part of this blessing. The Lord turn his face toward you. I think the best way to understand that is the opposite. What would it be like if God turned his face away from you? If God turned his face away, that's rejection, isn't it? So God turning his face toward you is the hope that we have God's approval, God's favor on the people that we're trying to bless. And finally, and give you peace. Now, the Hebrew word we translate as peace is actually a much more complex word, a much stronger word. It's the word shalom that you might be familiar with. Shalom means wholeness. It means a totality of well-being, everything about you, every element of your being in balance, wholeness. So when we pray this blessing on people, we're asking for those five things. We're asking for protection for them, for God to be pleased with them, to have compassion on them, approval of them, and peace for them. And as we pray blessing on people, obviously we're asking for God's blessing on them. But when we do that, it helps us, doesn't it? Because we're actually showing by doing this that we care. We're showing compassion and love for others. So we grow. We become more like Jesus by praying blessings on others. So that's the basic blessing, but you will have seen and heard there were other verses on top of that blessing, and I'd like to just look at them one at a time. They should come up on the screen. And verse 1 says this: may his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. What a beautiful thing to pray over people. Not only do we ask that they're blessed, but that their family is blessed and their children's children's children are blessed. And this is also scriptural. What you'll see if you look in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9 is this verse: know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He's the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. And that's what we're praying as we pray this blessing. May God's favor be upon you, but not just you, but as he promised in Deuteronomy, to your children and their children and their children. And then verse 2 goes on to say, may his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you. A prayer for a sense of God's presence to be on other people and in other people. It was so important for the Israelites in the desert to know that God was with them at all times, in all circumstances. And God was gracious to them. He gave them a signal that he was with them all the time. We read in Exodus chapter 13, in the desert, the Lord went ahead of the Israelites in a pillar of cloud by day to guide them, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they could travel by day or by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. In a very visible way, God demonstrated to the Israelites that he was with them all the time, in all places, in all circumstances. And that's what we need to know, and it's what we want to bless other people for, a real sense of God's presence. And of course, God with us is actually literally embodied in Jesus. we, at this time of the year, as we approach Christmas, we often use the name Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. Jesus was God with us. And the last thing he said to his disciples before he left them was, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And he could say that even as he was leaving them, because he'd promised them that the Holy Spirit would come. That when he went back to be with his Father, the Holy Spirit would come. And the Holy Spirit did come. And the Holy Spirit is God with us at all times and in all places. So the presence of God is something lovely to bless people with, to ask for God to give them a sense of his presence. And then verse 3 says, "In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you. He is for you." What a great affirmation that is. Not only is God with us in all times and in all circumstances, but God is for us at all times and in all circumstances. And my, don't we need to have that affirmed sometimes in our lives? God is for us. So many people seem to think that God is somehow waiting to trip us up, waiting for us to fail, so he can point a finger and make us feel guilty and feel bad. And that's just not what God is about. We have nothing to feel guilty about, nothing to feel bad about, if we've confessed. If we turn to God and confess the things that we mess up, we are forgiven. There's no ifs and buts. We turn to God, we confess, we ask for forgiveness, it is done. We have no need to feel bad and to feel guilty. And if there's one thing we need affirming, it is God is for us. It's no accident that that song finished with the repetition, very loudly, very clearly, very emphatically, that God is for you. That's how it finished, wasn't it? On and on. God is for you. God is for you. God is for you. We really need to take that on board. As believers, we just simply need to confess when we mess up. We're forgiven, and God is for us. But I don't want to leave you with thinking that the main message that God is for us, because we have to understand this is a blessing for others. That what we're trying to do with this song is to get into a place where we want to bless others. So yes, God is for you, God is for me, but what we want to do with this is to bless others and to make other people totally aware that we're praying God's blessing on them because God is for them. And to finish where I started, really, that singing the blessing, saying the blessing is one thing, but all the churches involved in that are involved in being a blessing as well. So yes, it's fantastic to sing a blessing, to pray a blessing. That's why they did this. It's why they put it all together. At a time when the country is really struggling, they wanted churches to bless their communities and to bless each other in the church family. And that's what this is all about. And I think it's absolutely inspirational. And I hope you, if you've not heard it before, I hope you really enjoyed it. And if you have heard it before, I'm sure you enjoyed it. When the children return, as Louise said, we will be, the band will sing that and you'll be doing some signing. But before that, let's just pray. Lord, thank you that we know you love us. We know you want the best for us. And sometimes it's hard. It's hard for us, Lord, sometimes to hang on to that when things are tough. Help us, Lord, to look to you at all times and in all circumstances. And help us, Lord, to be a blessing and to pray a blessing. And if we want to sing a blessing on our communities. In Jesus' name. Amen.